Go with me in the scripture, Matthew 7, verse 21. How many of you enjoyed the messages that we preached on grace? Amen. And I know that a lot of people are taking it out of context that are watching us online, or those who are not in the church. Also, a lot of people have been blessed. We've been getting messages from all over the world. We have been getting messages literally from all over the world of people saying how they are set free from this message. Listen, Centurion might be small here, but obviously we got Krugersdorp as well. We got Cape Town as well. Are you guys with me? And we got our online church as well. And then we have people all over the world that are watching as normal broadcasting that are being touched by these services. So the moment I began to preach, Can You Lose Your Salvation? That message just went viral, really went viral. One of our messages that contains that, a part of that in, I think is over 150,000 views on live stream. So it went viral, and some countries are not happy with it. I didn't find a lot of opposition from South Africa for a strange reason. I'm not sure why, or not yet. But I'm sure there's some ministers that hate that. I know some ministers, some big ministers that says to me they don't like hypergrace, and they think I preach hypergrace. And we're not speaking. Hypergrace is something different. Hypergrace says that you can carry on sinning the way you want to and have no character of God. But let me just say that that is an abuse of the word of hypergrace. Grace is hyper, otherwise you would not be sitting here. Are you guys with me? So grace is hyper. Otherwise, you would not be sitting here. If God's grace was not hypos, which is it in the Greek, which is hyper, your blood would, your sins would not be forgiven by the blood. And the first sin that tripped you up would have taken you out. So, you know, they say that we preach hyper grace. Don't listen to that nonsense. We preach the grace of God relative to justification, sanctification. When it comes to character, that's a whole different thing. Don't throw it into the same box. When it comes to the character of Christ, the image of Christ, being conformed to the image of Christ, it is now a different story, because that means that I have to have a character, a witness, a Christian character, or a Christ-like character, enabled to witness and to be a good testimony and witness to people out there. Are you guys with me? So it is having a good character. So we're not there yet. So people think and assume, because we're not touching on that, that we are saying that we are ignoring that. No, we're working with salvation. Because 50% of the church here, you're going to hear this morning, I bet you, possibly, I hope not, but possibly 50% of the church here is not saved. Are you guys with me? So I'm going to flip the coin a little bit from beautiful grace message to something else, okay? Because people have to understand salvation. People have to understand. People have to understand the work of salvation. If there's one thing I want to do, is I want to open up the Bible to our church. I don't like it when preaching is just stories or this or that. There must be scripture. And there must be an exposition of the scripture. There must be an exegesis of the scripture. There must be a opening up of the scripture. And there must be scripture interpreting scripture. That is the correct way of preaching, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, when I preach, I do that. So my assignment, listen, I have two assignments. My one assignment is to plant the church. And my other assignment is to prophesy. So I stopped prophesying for about 2 years properly, because I had some suckers. They wouldn't know who I'm talking. Maybe they will know, so I can't say who they are, otherwise it's dishonoring. But to tell me that, you know, you must lay down your mantle. Mega church pastors, you must lay down your mantle. You know, you must lay down your mantle. Just lay it down. It's too much. Then I realized 2 years later, but these, you know, fools want me to lay down my mantle so that we can't be effective, so that they can be effective. Really, really. And so I laid down my mantle and I taught the word and it was fine. And we still showed that our church is not maintained by prophecy, and our church is not fanaticized by prophecy. It doesn't matter what all the keyboard warriors are thinking. That crowd up there is fickle. I don't care about them. I care about them if they are in our online church and they are committed. But I don't care if they are just fickle people, some apostle in their mother's basement that's trying to, people sending me these articles. I think I got about 30 articles written against us. I'm thinking, listen, you might as well just write a book. I'm helping you to write a book. You can go ahead, while we will be doing the work of the kingdom. They have also been sending, these people that are writing these articles have also been sending it to other people in their inboxes. So that is why you need to know the word of truth. So if you sit under our ministry, that these, you know, the more wide and the more known we become, there's a curse to it as well, where people really try to shut you down. There's a reason I stay silent regarding our next project, because I can only reveal it at a certain time, which I will reveal to you, and it will be glorious, and it will be soon. Are you guys with me? We've already made purchases, everything. We've already spent over 16 million rand the last 2 months. And we need 100 more, okay? But we spent over 16 million rand. But in the right time, it'll be revealed. So because you have people, the wider your influence spread, you have people that want to stop you. You know, there's a man out there, that used to be part of my spiritual family and so on, but that vowed that they will not die unless they see my ministry destroyed. Now, I understand a Saul and a David syndrome, and maybe it is one of those things, and I won't dishonor, but I have to keep on doing what God is doing. But God is not going to allow that, because the assignment, the mantle, and the angel of the Lord has shifted on. So when this church was planted, an angel was placed by this pulpit of this church called the Angel of Encounter. And from there, every time God tells us to plant a church, that angel is present. When the Lord told me to plant Krugersdorp, that angel was present on the second floor of that building. When we were busy building the building in Krugersdorp, on the second floor, the angel came to me and ministered to me. The same with Cape Town. Are you guys with me? So let's get to. So I need to give you a message this morning, and I want to. I don't know how to say it, exposition or exegete, open up, line upon line, precept upon precept, the word to you. And I'm just going to get into a few things. So that's why I teach. And then, you know, when it comes to other services and evenings, just this morning is going to be teaching. Other mornings we'll get back into prophecy while preaching and teaching and so on. I wanted to move to a financial series, and the Lord said, no, I must carry on with this still. So I need to go with what the agenda is. I believe there's a great deliverance revival that broke out, but it's going to become very legalistic unless God brings in a move of grace. That is why on the mouths of many prophets right now is the message of grace. God has literally instilled it into the mouths and the spirits of many prophets to bring in the wave, because God does nothing unless He reveals it to His servants, the prophets. So if He reveals to me a wave of grace that is coming, it means a wave of grace that is coming. Otherwise, because of all this deliverance stuff, people are going to go back into legalism, which has already been happening. Are you guys with me? So I've been attacked as brutally as much as the testimonies people have received. I've also been attacked on this brutally, because they don't understand, or they are full of legalism. So the spirit of religion is manifesting in them. I just never had this in my life. I never had this legalistic side inside of me. I might have preached legalism in a way, but it was never really a part of me. I could never really be at peace with this. So go to Matthew 7:21. Let me read to you something. Those who are online, keep watching, share the broadcast for us on Facebook, tag somebody, click the thumbs up button on YouTube right now. I want everybody on YouTube. I can see you here, everybody on YouTube, click the thumbs up button for us, please. That'll help. Matthew 7:21, it says, so the message basically this morning is, say with me, am I 100% sure I am saved? You might say yes now, but let's wait, okay? Matthew 7 verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now we understand the context of this message where Jesus says, I never knew you. depart from me. So these were people that God never knew. Are you guys with me? Let's read it in context. Verse 22. Many will say to me in the day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Man, I'm losing my voice already because of this sound. Have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Next verse. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So listen to this. There are 50% here, most probably, in a normal church, if we are really, if I've taught the word to you correctly, and you had an awesome regeneration experience, and it shows certain fruits, there might be less than 50%. But there is going to be a group of people here that falls into the category of God never knowing you. Are you guys with me? So meaning that not everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will enter heaven. I'm going to ask you that usually I'm off preaching without notes. You've seen me done it for years. But I want to take this message on my notes because it is quite a, it is a message that can get backlash, and I want to present it correctly. Is that okay? So meaning a lot of people in the church are going to think that they're going to heaven, but they are not. You can only come to God on His terms and not on our own terms. So many people preach a gospel, and they preach the gospel, and then the people who receive it receive Him on their terms. Celebrities receive Him on their terms. Oh, trust me, I've seen it, and I've worked with a couple of them. They receive God on their terms, and salvation has not done its full work. Prevenient grace is not coming, and I'll explain it right now. Salvation has not done its full work, so they go back to their old lifestyle. Are you guys with me? When you truly receive salvation, you will not go back to your own lifestyle. But listen, every single one of us have sinned. Ecclesiastes 7:20. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, there's not just a man upon the face of the earth that does good and sinneth not. For there's not a just man on earth who does good or sins not and does not sin. Meaning there has to be a genuine salvation that takes place upon a people. Let me explain to you. And I'm going to try to preach very fast because it's a long message and I need to get it out to you completely this morning before I go. And I want to pray for you at the end. So when the message is not preached correctly, are you with me? Are you with me, church? If you don't witness to correctly to someone, you go the risk to have that soul think they receive salvation, but they don't receive salvation. And this is such a serious commission that Paul says to Timothy, that be a student, study the words, to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Are you guys with me? So when the gospel is preached in a wrong way, the blood does not do its effective work. And because the blood does not do its work, that soul is unable to get saved. That's why your friend that you've ministered to is still in the world. Because now we have to get back to 101 basics, evangelism, Christianity 101. To say, how do I lead somebody to the Lord? Do I use the correct wording? Do I use the correct phrasing? Everything is about words. Everything. God said to Adam, Adam, whatever you name the animals, so it shall be. By your words. Samuel, the Lord called to Samuel, and Samuel said, yes, Lord, here am I. And the Lord said nothing to him. Then he went to Samuel. Then Samuel says, no, you're saying the wrong words. You must say these words. And when he went back to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him again, then he said, here am I, Lord. Here's your servant, Lord. Speak. And he used different words. Meaning that there is words that heaven responds by. And when words are not used correctly, which is where we get the phrase preaching from, if preaching is not done correctly, the hearts of people are not touched. Are you guys with me? You look thoroughly bored. You can go back home. Are you guys with me? So when I preach the gospel wrong, I prevent prevenient grace from working in someone's life. Prevenient grace, have four people up for me here quickly. I hope I'll finish with this. If I don't finish with it, it's okay. I can actually finish it next week. It is okay. I'll go as the Holy Spirit leads. So, this is the person before he gets saved. Are you guys with me? Prevenient grace. And I want you to understand these truths and write it down. It's very important for your own salvation. It's very important for many false doctrines that are out there. It's very important for all the seeker-sensitive churches that are now speaking about a universal God, bringing in new age, and then have the audacity to say, I am new age. There are more preachers, new age today, that is on TBN, that you are following, that are mega churches, that I am new age and I'm a prophet. If there's anybody that should be touching a little bit new age levels, it is a prophet. Because new age just took it from prophets. Okay, are you guys with me? Clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairscience, everything is taken from prophets. So when you listen to a psychic that's operating clairaudience, don't think it is, oh, the devil created it. No. Clairaudience simply means to hear in the spirit. Clairvoyance, are you guys with me? Clairvoyance means to see. But anyway, so he's the unregenerate person, unsaved. He's the saved person, just saved person. He's the being saved person, and he's the glorified person. So the unsaved person, somebody comes and ministers to him. But if the person that ministers to him, there's a lot of feedback on this mic, guys. We need the right sound guys out, please. When there is a wrong person is ministering to him wrongly, the grace of God cannot be present for his heart to shift, to actually receive Christ completely. So he can even do the sinner's prayer out of an intellectual mind, and I can walk away and think I want a soul, but I want nothing. And then this person can think they're going to heaven, but they're not going to heaven. It's called the apostate church. Are you guys with me? That's what happened in AD 70 with the church of Laodicea. In fact, they were actually questioning whether the church of Laodicea was actually, none of them were believers. But anyway, but now if I'm a believer and I understand the power of prevenient grace is before justifying grace. Prevenient grace is what gives the person an opportunity for them to respond in faith, because it's by grace through faith. Are you guys with me? So now prevenient grace is here. Now through faith, he can respond. So now grace is like a bubble that comes to him, a moment in time of 5 seconds or so, where he will now have the ability and the choice to accept the work that was done on the cross or not accept the work that was done on the cross. And if he misses that moment, then he falls into the category where the Bible says that no man shall stand before God without an excuse. So every single person on the planet will have prevenient grace, whether somebody preaches to them or whether they know God by their own conscience. And in their own conscience, if they are in a place where there's no gospel being preached, Romans chapter number 1, there's a judgment on the conscience. Are you guys with me? God is not an unfair God. He will have no one stand in front of him who has not been given an opportunity to respond to the gospel. even if it's in a conscious manner by looking at nature. Are you guys with me? So now he responds and he says yes. The moment he says yes, grace now works in him. Because grace works in him, he's justified immediately. He's saved immediately without works. There's nothing he has to do. The only thing he had to do was acknowledge and confess his sin. Number two was to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, to confess that Jesus is Lord. We call it the ABCs. Three things he had to do. He just had to acknowledge, I'm a sinner. He had to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord in his heart. And then he had to confess with his mouth that Jesus unto salvation, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and the blood has forgiven him and the blood has washed him. Now he's justified. This is forever. Amen. I hear the sound, guys. Are you guys with me? I'm going to hold the mic here, and if I'm keeping holding it closer, please don't drop it because you guys are killing my voice, okay? So, once here, he is forgiven completely. Now, this grace doesn't end here. It started with prevenient grace. It's justifying grace. Now it moves on to sanctifying grace. Once I get to sanctifying grace, this grace is still working. And it is saying that as I am in a sanctifying grace, there's nothing I have to do out of myself. It is God that does good works in me. If my salvation was true at prevenient grace, God does the works. You would want to pray. You would want to read the words. You would want to be kind to people. You would love people. You would serve people. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. You'll be full of joy. There'll be a change of nature on the inside of you. Now from here we move on, and that's the grace that is working in your life. Now it is like the Bible is saying, you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, but it is God that works in us, both to will and to do. And in the book of Peter, he says that this is the keeping power of God. That this is where God keeps you. You don't have to keep yourself. There's a deception that is being preached to say, yeah, you have to maintain, you get your salvation without works, but now you have to maintain it with good works. It's a deception. Are you guys with me? The sound is bad, so I know it is not traveling or anything like that. Can you hear me? Can you understand? This stuff must be sorted, eh? Don't think there that it's all good. If you take the mic, it's not good. So, here is sanctifying grace, meaning that it keeps me. God keeps me. There's no work I have to do to maintain or keep my salvation. If I do that, I move into self-worship. Now the same grace that is sanctifying me is the same grace that will glorify me one day. That will give me my glorifying body. That will give me my heavenly body. And that will complete. So what is happening by sanctification? So what is happening at justification? My spirit is saved. Are you guys with me? My spirit gets saved. What's happening at sanctification? My soul is being saved. What is happening at glorification? My body, my flesh will be saved one day. So salvation will have its full work through the grace of God. But it is by His grace and not of our works and not of our law. Does that mean that we cannot, mustn't come and pray? No. That is to align yourself with God and to kind of like make this process easier, because I'll get into a gospel after this one is correctly. I'll begin to preach on the new man. So many people are waiting for the glorification, where in eternity there is no time. And the Bible says that we have, all things have passed away and all things become new. And those who are in Christ Jesus have become a new kainos. A new creation, which is here, which means that when people look at you, they look at you as if you are here already. They look at you with the image of Christ on you. They look at you like you are a kainos creation. Are you guys with me? You carry the image of Christ. He's the firstborn of many brethren. He's not the only born of many. He's the firstborn, which means that there are many coming after him like him. But we cannot get to kainos unless we understand justification, the grace of God, the goodness of God, the good news of the gospel. Have your seats. Are you guys with me? Say with me the good news. This is the good news. Do you know how many people, you know, people think I answer comments on Facebook because I'm offended. Oh, I'm so beyond offended. It's entertainment. Okay, I'm sitting and laughing and answering this one, and then this preacher is upset with me. Then I'm answering him there. And I say to this preacher that is very hurt by, maybe he watches this, that is very hurt from all the way from Texas. That's very hurt maybe by a previous move, maybe like somebody that went into universalism, maybe like Carlton Pearson or so. And because of that hurt, you have switched the pendulum way to the other side. And if you're not going to fix it, you're going to hurt the people more than what you were hurt. You're watching from Texas. I love you. But you're putting people into bondage. So it's a big minister that contacted me. And they say that we have to buffet our bodies to keep our salvation. Paul says, I buffet my body to keep it under subjection so that I am not disqualified. Guys, let's read the Bible in context. Can I at least teach you an encounter if those online don't understand? Are you telling me you have to... Now, when Paul buffeted his body, he beaded his face black and blue at his mouth because he had a problem of unbelief and talking negatively. Okay. So... And he had a messenger of Satan, an accuser sent against him, and he didn't want to speak against him, so he had to buffet his own mouth. That is how serious he took his apostleship. But are you telling me now I have to buffet my body, which means beat my body, to keep my salvation? Common sense is not so common with some people. So you understand prevenient grace, justifying grace, sanctifying grace, and glorifying grace. Are you guys with me? And I endeavor to teach you here, guys. I really endeavor to teach you here. I hope this is not going to be a... If it is a two-part series, it is really fine. It is really fine. It is really fine because I think it might be too much for you. I realize that I can't throw out 100 scriptures. It's going to be too much. I think we might have to make it a two-part series, which will be very good. But then you must attend the second part. So some conversions and some salvations are false. Okay, they are false. They are, as I just explained to you now, when prevenient grace is not present, we get now to a place of the 10 virgins. I haven't even touched or taught on the 10 virgins. I haven't touched and taught on the mystery of the parables. So please be, like I said, be in a church that understands the word, that doesn't just throw out nonsense to you and their opinions. There are so many people that are throwing out opinions. They're throwing these scriptures out to us. People throwing out a scripture. Let me get it for you. Go with me to Revelation chapter number, I think it is, Revelation 3 verse 16. Listen to this. Revelation 3:16. I like the chair though. I think I need to get a chair up here. Then if I want to preach, I run. And then if I want to sit, I can sit. But anyway, maybe it'll make the church seeker sensitive. I don't know. So then, listen to this. No, this is not the one I'm looking for. Sorry. This is not the one I'm looking for. I'm actually looking for this one. Go with me to Revelation 3:5. Sorry, 3:5. Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, saith he that overcometh, say, the same shall be clothed in white, and I will not, say, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Does it say he will blot out your name? He says, I will not blot out his name. What are the conditions? Very simple. Are you overcomers through Jesus Christ? Has he had victory on the cross?
Does the Bible says that you are more than an overcomer? Clothed in white, are you washed with the blood? Are you dressed in white garments? Which are you made the righteousness of Christ, righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? That means your name will not be blotted out. That means that you've accepted the blood of the Lamb. You've accepted the atoning work of the blood, and your name is not and cannot be blotted out. So don't ever think of this verse. Come on, are you guys with me? What are we speaking about? We are speaking about a series called Assurance of Salvation. Have your seats, have your seats. Even though I called it, are you 100% sure you're saved? Which we will land next week. But the assurance of salvation. And you see why it is important to know the assurance, because you can never operate in glory unless you know the assurance of your salvation. You can never minister to anybody effectively unless you know the assurance of your salvation. Are you guys with me? So they throw the scriptures, and then they throw out vomit and all this stuff, and God vomits us out of our mouth, and everything is taken out of context. But it is fine. So listen, as we're getting into the series, we're dealing with two types of Christians. So when I speak of false conversions, you have people that are falsely saved. They think they are saved, but they are not. So, or many have been allowed to crept into the sheepfold without going through the door. So they speak the Christian lingo. They raise their hands. They're in the midst of you here. But they don't have the assurance of salvation. That's why it's very important to come back next week, so that we can close this thing off and end it off properly. Because without next week, you're not going to understand and not going to have the conviction. And you're going to see how the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, righteousness, and judgment before you are saved to get onto salvation. And then He witnesses in you that you are a son of God. Are you guys with me? So many people become what we call mannequin Christians. They look real from far. But once you get close and you really poke at them, or you touch them and you try to feel and see if there's life, you realize there's no life. But from far off, they look like actual real people. They can be dressed in a certain way. They can look a certain way. Everything about them looks correctly. But it has to take somebody to get close up to look at evidences to see, are they a real Christian or are they not? Did they truly experience salvation or not? And it is my duty to make sure that the whole church I've encountered is truly saved. Because then we can go to the next step, which is saved, serving, and then maturing, meaning. Or saved, ministry, maturing, meaning. A lot of people first want to mature before they can do ministry. While the Bible says you must first do ministry, then you can mature. You will never mature unless you do ministry. Are you guys with me? Ephesians chapter number 4:11. You will never mature unless you do ministry. Now what we have created is we've created a congregation and a people that wants to serve and wants to mature first before they think they can do any ministry. They want to mature first before they think they can run an e-group. You will never mature. You only mature by doing ministry. And so we have slowed down the move of God and the advancing of the kingdom because we want to mature people before using them in ministry. And I'm not speaking of serving. I'm speaking of ministry. Are you guys with me? So I'm not speaking of serving. I'm speaking of ministry. A lot of people don't want to do ministry because I don't think and I don't believe their salvation experience was full and whole and genuine and true. Because you're going to see now the signs and the evidences. My stomach is a bit sore, so I'm just talking. Is that okay? If I scream and I can't hear myself with a mic, then I get a bit sore. So there's a lot of people that are not saved because they think that they are saved through their works. Or they think that they are saved by their works. Or they maintain or keep their salvation through their works. And because of that, there's no genuine salvation. Are you guys with me? What's going on? Oh, okay. Just don't be distracting while you do that. So go back to Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Say with me, the will of my Father. So there are two types of Christians that we're addressing in this series. There's a lot of Christians who are saved, but they live in fear and doubt, and they don't know, or they doubt their salvation. They don't have full assurance, but they are saved. Then there are other Christians who are not saved, but they think they are saved. Are you guys with me? These are the two. Two types of people. So I want to just give you the purpose of this message. The purpose of this message is to remove condemnation. It's to remove any guilt from you. It's to bring you to a place where you can receive salvation, enjoy salvation, have rest in salvation, have a joy upon you, incredibly love God, have an assurance of your salvation, and actually go and preach the gospel and know that you have a creator of a universe that can preserve you until the end. And that there's no such thing as an endurance gospel where you must endure to the end. It is nonsense. Are you guys with me? I hope, I don't have much power in my speaking because I'm in rough pain, but I hope my words can get to you. There is no such thing as an enduring gospel. Many will say to you, you must endure to the end to be saved. That was speaking of a different time period. It was speaking of AD 70. It wasn't speaking of today. You are in the dispensation of the grace of God, of the kingdom of God. Are you guys with me? Because what if you endure your whole life and that 5 seconds before you died, you stopped enduring? So these things don't make practical sense. Are you guys with me? So I haven't even got into it. We'll get into it right now. So the purpose of this message is for no condemnation. It's to know that you are a child of God. Yes, there are people here who are saved, but they doubt their salvation. They have fear, and they actually hope that one day they will be saved. Then there are people here who think they are saved, but they are not saved. Now, how do we distinguish between the two? Let's get into it. Are you guys with me? Say with me, evidences that I'm saved. Online, let us know if you're enjoying it by putting a fire emoji. And then share the broadcast. So evidences that a person is saved. The number one evidence, say with me, fruit. If a person is really saved, he will have the fruit of salvation. So Matthew 7 verse 20. Read for me Matthew 7 verse 20, just before 21. We read to you verse 21 right now, but let's do Matthew 7 verse 20. Whereby their fruits you shall know them. Wherefore, by their fruits, say with me, by their fruits, you shall know them. This is tricky because an apple tree can be an apple tree without fruits. And it can take time before an apple tree actually begins to bear fruits. Are you guys with me? It can also be that an apple tree never bears fruits, but it's still an apple tree. So I want to go as far to say that even if a Christian never bears fruit, he's still a Christian. So what I'm saying with the evidence is, I'm not saying that if you're just missing one of these evidences that you are not a Christian. I'm saying, and I'll tell you right at the end of the message, which won't be today, what is the three steps on how to make sure of your salvation? How you can 100% make sure of your salvation? That won't be today. But I can have an apple tree, and that apple tree can never even bear fruit. Yet it's an apple tree. So you can't really fully, so fruit is an indicator, but it is not a requirement. Are you guys with me? What I'm saying here, guys, the next evidences I'm going to give you, except for one or two, that I will tell you are not requirements, but they are indicators. They are evidences, but not requirements of salvation. Does that make sense? So an apple tree can be young and they cannot produce, and then they can make grow older, they can produce. So fruit takes long. If fruit never appears, we can have an argument and say, but wait, maybe something is wrong here. Maybe this person's salvation is not true because we don't see fruit. So I'm not saying we can say it as a certainty, but we can say maybe. Are you guys with me? If a Christian, now first of all, let me just say this. What is the fruit? What fruits must a Christian bear? A Christian must bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is the 9 fruits of the Spirit. And number 2, they must bear the fruits of productivity. So the fruits of the Spirit is to make you like the image of Christ. Are you guys with me? Love, patience, goodness. And we can go through all the fruits, long-suffering, temperance. And we can go through the fruits of the Spirit, the 9 fruits of the Spirit. When those fruits begin to take place in your life, it is a sign and an evidence of salvation. And then when there's fruits of productivity, you're actually beginning to serve. There's actually some fruits of productivity. You're beginning to make disciples. People are catching and being discipled by you. It's now fruits that are being produced. But I cannot say because of that somebody is saved. Are you guys with me? It's an evidence. So I cannot say because they have these things in their lives, they are saved. But I can also not say because they don't have these things in their lives, they are not saved. It is just evidences for self-reflection. For you to reflect on yourself, do I have fruits in my life? Or have I just carried on the devil that I used to be? Okay. So a real Christian will eventually begin to produce fruit in their lives. Are you guys with me? Number 2, I think we might only get to number 2. Because if I'm going to go further, I'm going to mess up this message. I'm really going to mess up this message. I wanted to land really hard with you next week. The second evidence, you will have a desire to stop sinning. Say with me, a desire to stop sinning. Now, if we get to sin, that's something I will teach on later. Okay, but let's get to just the evidence of a desire to stop sinning. So 1 John 3 verse 9 says this. It says, whoever is born of God does not commit sin. I'm going to say it again. Whoever is born of God does not commit sin. Say with me, if I'm born of God, I do not commit sin. You cannot commit sin. It says, for the seed remains in him, and he cannot. Say it again. Say, I do not, and say, I cannot. Say it again. Say, I do not, I cannot. Don't get upset with me. Get upset with the Bible. It means that sin. I can give you the mature interpretation or can give you the sugar-coated interpretation. If I must give you the mature interpretation, everybody online is going to backslide. Those some in here are going to backslide. If I give you the sugar-coated interpretation, maybe we can go on. Let me give you the mature interpretation first. Colossians 2:11. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. You know what this means? Come on, are you sleeping? Do you know what this means? It means that the body that you're committing sin is has been circumcised off. It means that sin, what sin used to be to you, is no longer sin to you anymore. I'm not speaking of the act. I'm speaking of the effect. That's the mature interpretation. Are you guys with me? So if you've done that sin before you were saved, it was an actual sin. But now after you're saved, your sin is no longer a sin to you, because the penalty of sin has been dealt with. The power of sin has been dealt with. The presence of sin is being dealt with. So sin is the only sin that a believer can commit. Is the sin of unbelief. Go read it in your Bible. What does the New Testament say sin is? For whatever is not of faith is sin. When it's unbelief, it's sin. So actually, how many are sinning actually here? You're trying to stop all these other works, but you have unbelief to God towards your finances. You have unbelief to God towards your healing. You have unbelief even to God towards your salvation. You don't have the assurance of salvation, so you're in sin. You are a double-minded man, and God does not answer a double-minded man. When you are unbelief, you are in sin. So now I'm in sin because I doubt my salvation. Are you guys with me? So that is the mature interpretation. For those that want to cut this and call me a heretic, you can go ahead, because I'll give the sugar-coated one for you now. Okay. That is the mature interpretation. That sin is no longer sin to you. But now they will come with the argument and say that they will say that now you have a license to sin. And they will say that now we're giving you, now we say, how dare heresy, we say you can get saved and go carry on sinning. Listen to me. Put on Romans chapter number 6 verse 18. Romans 6 verse 18. I would be carrying on this message tonight, but then I know not a lot of you are going to come because you had spring day yesterday. Being then made free from sin. No, this is not the one I'm looking for. Maybe it is 13, the one of dominion. 14. 6 verse 14. For sin, say with me, for sin shall not have dominion over me, for I am not under the law but under grace. So when you're truly under grace, sin, you will not go have a license to sin. You would not want to go sin. Are you guys with me? There would not be no lifestyle of sin, because grace, prevenient grace, justifying grace, salvation grace has done its full work in you. You were wholly and fully saved. So those who are saying, but you're going to go backside and sin, their hearts are wicked. Not your hearts. If the grace of God had its work in your life, and you understand the word that I'm preaching to you, you will know that you have no desire to carry on sinning. And even if you do, the discipline of God will come and nudge you out of the way, or pull you out of the way, and you will be a miserable, uncomfortable life. Are you guys with me? Say, sin has no dominion over me when I'm under grace. But let me tell you to whom it has dominion over, to those who are under the law, where they keep measuring themselves and they keep saying, because of this works, I am good here. Because I'm praying here, I am good here. Because of this, No. You are in new age self-worship. You are an idol worshiper. You made a God out of yourself, and you say you can save yourself. Are you guys with me? I want this word to penetrate you, so you will have no desire to sin. The second evidence. So the sugar-coated way says that sin has no power over you. I mean, the mature way says sin has no power over you. That the body of sins have been cut off, put off. Does that mean that you can go on sinning? No, there is a judgment for sins. Just not in heaven, on the earth. So the more you sin, the more God disciplines you. That discipline can even go so far as sickness coming upon you and death. Are you guys with me? I'll teach on it next week. So when you as a child, when your child, your daughter, listen, always look at the relationship with God as a father-son relationship. Always. If your child sins against you, what do? You give them a hiding, I hope. Are you guys with me? Timeout. There's one thing we knew, it was not timeout. Teach the child the way they will go, and they will go that way. Spare not the rod. It's not child abuse, relax. It will save your child from death. You are messing up because you might not have had it. Are you guys with me? I can't discipline my daughters, so my wife has to discipline them. Because I feel too sorry for them. Now I'm still a voice of discipline and authority in the house. It's just better for my stomach if I sit like this. So I'm still a voice of discipline and authority, obviously. But God disciplines you. So look at the relationship as a father-son relationship. Sin has a judgment. Not in heaven, because I'll explain next week how we won't be judged. In fact, how there's no judgment against us. But on this earth, there's a judgment of sins. Sins has to be judged on this earth because the Bible says the consequence of sin is death. So sometimes if a person, even a man of God, would get so bad in their wickedness that God will have to remove them. Knowing that they'll be in heaven, people on your earth think God is killing people. No, He's not killing, He's putting them to sleep. Christians don't die. Are you guys with me? Christians sleep. And they'll be awakened. So say with me, a desire to stop sinning. So now let's go to the sugar-coated way, what this verse actually means. Also, it's another interpretation. There are two schools of interpretation here. Another interpretation, which is the more accepted one and the more the right one to preach in a public way, is that it speaks of habitual, continual sinning. That the Greek word does not sin means that you cannot regularly carry on sinning. So the moment you've experienced true salvation, you cannot carry on drinking that Jack Daniels like you used to all the time and getting drunk and beating your wife all the time. If you are, it is a good sign that salvation might not have done its full work in you. Are you guys with me? So I'll have a desire for not sinning, meaning the seed of God is in me, the sperm of God. When God's seed is in me, there will be a desire to stop habitually sinning. Not by my own works, I'll just have no desire. If I can carry on the way I used to carry on and live the way I used to with no nature change, and there's absolutely no change about me, and I can carry on doing every sin and no voice of conviction or is speaking to me or the discipline of God is speaking to me, it means that maybe my salvation was not true. Are you guys with me? So this is the second evidence. I'm not even going to get into the third evidence. I want to close it off here because otherwise the message is going to go off balance. Say with me, am I, and I'm going to give you 8 or 9, eh? By next week, we'll be finished. Say with me, am I 100% sure that I am saved? I just gave you 2 signs that must be in your life, and I'm going to give you more. Let's stand to our feet wherever we are. Raise your hands to the Lord. Raise your hands to the Lord. I'm going to ask Pastor Martin to pray. I'm going to ask him to close off and do an altar call for those who feel that their hearts are not right. They don't have 100% assurance for salvation. Maybe you thought you were a Christian, but you don't have that 100% assurance. I want you to make it right today for me. It is very important. And then we're going to carry on with this message next week, Sunday.